John 17, starting at verse 20. This is the heart of Jesus for us, as he prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you and I are in me, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can gather here today. We thank you for the heart of Jesus displayed in this passage. A heart that is so for his people. We thank you that you have poured out your love on us. We thank you that we're able to praise your name today and declare you as holy. And Lord, we thank you that there are people in all the nations of the world with so many different languages praising you today. We pray that our hearts would worship you today, just as there are hearts all around the world praising you. Lord, we thank you that Lord, that one day all people will bow before you, every tribe, tongue, and nation. But Lord, we pray for us now. We pray that we would be able to share that unity, to bring people into it. Lord God, we just thank you for those of our number who are not with us today. Lord, we know there are many unwell with COVID at the moment. We just pray for them that you'd be with them, heal them, and bless them. And Lord, we just pray right now that they would know that you are with them and they are part of the unity, part of the body of Christ that you have brought us into. And Lord God, we just pray for David today as he comes to share your message, share the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. We pray that we would have ears to hear, that we would hear your message, Lord, that you would speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, that Lord would just be with David as he speaks to us, that you give him the words to say to us, Lord, and we would glorify your name through what he has to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dan, for that reading, and other Dan and the band. And just it's such a joy to be here with you and to see wonderful faces, still some faces I've not had a chance to connect with recently. So it's just so wonderful that you could be here, those in the building and those watching online, as we continue looking at this wonderful prayer of Jesus. It is some of my favorite parts of the scriptures, and it's great to be getting into it together. It's great to pray, isn't it? It's been great to pray in this service. I've been loving the Lent early morning prayer times on Thursday mornings. I'm really looking forward to our chance to pray together tonight, 7:30, here in the building, to kind of press into the presence of God. Our worship team are going to lead us in that time as well. And so do come back 7:30 tonight, if you can, in person. I also found last Sunday evening, when a whole bunch of us from different churches gathered on the level, and we were led in a prayer and worship vigil for Ukraine. It was we've got a picture up here on the screen. It was a really special, powerful time. I saw quite a lot of Holland Roaders there, which was a real joy. And one of the really moving parts was when a mother and a daughter from Ukraine, actually their home city was Mariupol. They got up on the stage. And there was this kind of very poignant moment as they shared about their city that is pretty much devastated now. How the dad of the family had actually gone back to join people there. And as they asked for us to pray for them, and then we prayed over them. We sang that song, the blessing over them. We prayed blessing for them. And we just prayed in different ways for this family, for Mariupol. And the lady at the end, the mum, just said, "Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for standing with us in prayer." And it was so moving because I'm thinking, I know what it's like when you know people are praying for you and you're really going through the thick of it. And it is such a good thing. And Jesus is praying for us and for them. And it is so good to know that Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth who we've been worshiping, is praying for you and I. Look what it says in verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone." That's just for his sort of 12 disciples. "I pray also for those who believe in me through their message." So he is praying for us. He's praying for those who have believed in him. We sang that song earlier. You know, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. You know, why is he praying for us? Because the Bible says even now when he died and rose again and ascended into heaven, he ascended and is at the right hand of the Father. And even now he's continually interceding, praying for you and I. Why is he doing that? Well, it's because he didn't just kind of save us and then kind of leave us to just get on with it. Like, okay, I've saved you now. I've paid for your sins. They're forgiven. And now just want you to get on. No. He knows that what he's called us to is not just to accept him, but to follow him. And he knows that following him is not an easy task, but it is a task that is amazing in terms of the impact it has in our world. And so he's praying for us constantly that we would keep coming back to his death and resurrection, keep allowing it to shape our lives so that we would be more and more like him. And he's praying for us not just individually, he's praying for us corporately. He's praying for those in Ukraine and those in Brighton and those in Somalia. He's praying for his people that we would follow him and that we would become more like him. And as we were hearing last week, that he would protect, that we would know his protection. But one thing that really stands out in this passage that he's praying for us is right there in verse 21. I wonder if you can look down here with me because this is remarkable. And he keeps pressing into it. Look what he's praying. He says this. So we pick it up in verse 20 again. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray for also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one." That all of them, all those who believe in his message may be one, would be united. He's praying for our unity. This is not just a kind of organizational unity that we'd kind of have some kind of grand worldwide kind of organization thing. No, this is praying for our unity in a far more profound and a far deeper way. You know, I was thinking today as we were have these different people who are connecting as part of the church. You know, some are in the West Cluster meeting in King's School and you know, they're part of us. And in fact, my daughter was having a sleepover last night with someone from the West Cluster. And so she's there, one of my daughters. One of my other daughters is an older youth and she's at the youth weekend away. And then my son's not feeling 100% today. So Laura, my wife, and him are watching at home. Hi, folks, and all those others who are watching online. And you know what? We're one. Not just with them because I'm family with them, but we're family. We're one church family with all those people from all those different places, people online and in person and us here together. We're one. You know, it's not because we are in the same physical location, but because we're in the same spiritual location. We are in Christ, and that is far more profound and wonderful than we could possibly imagine. And we're not just in one shared spiritual location in Christ as those who are part of Holland Road Baptist Church. No, we're with our persecuted brothers and sisters and others from across the city and around the world. We are one in our worship and our praise and our love and our proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. That by our lives, we want, as it goes on in verse 21, look with me about this unity, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That there's something here of something so profoundly deep in our unity that it's like this connection that that Christ has with the Father. There's a kind of comparison there, but it's not a contrast. It's like we're the same, like Jesus and the Father, we're and Jesus as connected as that. And this has a purpose. Look with me at the purpose. Father, just as you're in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. So here's the first thing I want us to see this morning. There is a purpose for our unity, a purpose of unity that Jesus has for us. And it's this, quite simply, that others would come to see and believe that Jesus is the Son of God sent from heaven to be our Savior. That he is the one that we need to come and believe in. And you know, one of the things we see in verse 20 is that our message is a really powerful way that that comes across. But what we see in the prayer is that our unity is a really powerful way where that comes across as well. Our unity is part of our witness. It's not just something we do on our own, you know, reaching out to people. It's something we do together as people come in and see and experience, maybe here today or watching online. And you think, how are all these people from different places kind of united? And as they see us on the level when we were there, praying for Ukraine, this couple kind of came up and were like, what's going on here? They were just walking past and I spotted them and I thought, oh, let me come and explain to them. And they're like, wow. And you know, there's something very attractive about when we work together as a church, Holland Road, as we united in him. It's a powerful witness in a divided world. You know, as churches work together in things like Christians Against Poverty, our Debt Advice Center, and help those in need, or helping with the homeless together with other churches, it's a powerful witness. And I don't know if you've ever thought, you know, who is it that we are to be united with, or who are we united with? Well, it's clear, isn't it, in verse 20 and 21, it's those who believe in Jesus, because the purpose of our unity is that others would believe. And so one of the things that, if you want a kind of definition of the church, kind of big C church, it's the community of all true believers for all time. Not just those who are here now on the world, but, you know, those who've died and gone before. Those who are already now with the Lord, brothers and sisters who are so precious to us and yet are now in the presence of Jesus. The church, not just on earth, but with the Lord in heaven. You see, the church is universal and has local expressions. The church is visible. You can see it at work in our world, and you can come to a place like this and see, wow, this is an expression of the church. But the church is also kind of in some ways invisible. You never really, only God knows those who are fully his, those who are his people. And the key is those who believe in Jesus. And so even this morning, I want to just ask, as we've been singing and thinking, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he was sent from the Father? And if you're thinking, well, I think I do, but I'm not sure, and I don't actually know much about Jesus. Well, I encourage you, go back to what it says in verse 20, to the message of those early apostles. Go back to John's gospel. Why not start reading it and digging into it together? And as you do, you'll see this remarkable thing. As you read the accounts in the New Testament that Jesus brought people together from all different places, united in him in their faith. There were some rich, some poor, some young, some old. He said, yeah, let the little children come to me. It was kind of an intergenerational movement, but it was also an intercultural movement. And the amazing thing about the church is it kind of started spreading across cultural boundaries. And the book of Acts is a phenomenal kind of outpouring of God's Spirit that worked at bringing people together. And people were so surprised, you know, what's this Jew doing with this Gentile, this non-Jew? Or what's Jesus doing talking to that Samaritan woman? And yet Jesus was at work by his Spirit in breaking down cultural boundaries. You know, while I've been on sabbatical, I've had the privilege of visiting quite a lot of different churches of different cultures, some in our city and some in, across the UK. I don't know if you've ever had that experience when you kind of travel overseas or go to a new town and you think, oh, I'm here on a Sunday, I'll go somewhere for church. Have you ever gone to a place like that and you kind of walk in and you don't really know the people, but you kind of feel like family? You kind of think, wow, as we pray together and worship, we have this connection, and it's because you are family. And I've had that time and again over the last few kind of months. I've been to a sort of Nigerian kind of majority church where, you know, I'm thinking, this is wonderful. I've never met these guys, but I feel at home. And I've been to a kind of Ghanaian mainly kind of church and think, oh, this is wonderful. And then a kind of church where I turned up to see if they were what time the service was on a Sunday, and it said it's all in Arabic on Sunday. You need to come on the Saturday for the English service. I thought I'll go on Saturday. And again, meeting with brothers and sisters in Christ, but whose culture is very different from mine, but yet still feel like family. It's an amazing thing. And you know what I found? Is that in our nation, because we often feel more comfortable when we're kind of with people of our own culture, very understandable, often we tend towards places where we're meeting with just those people. It happens in a lot of kind of, if you like, majority kind of white Caucasian kind of congregations as well in the UK. And actually, one of the things that I've been kind of looking for during my sabbatical is places and churches we could learn from that have a real kind of amazing mix of nationalities. Because I think that's one of the things that's really special about Holland Road. I think it's one of the things that I think this is just so wonderful. And yet, as I've looked around the UK, I've not found many places like this. Many things that make my heart go, wow, this is so special. In fact, during my sabbatical, one of the services I tuned in online when I had COVID and my son did kind of in the middle of it. And so we kind of watched online Holland Road, and it was the family holiday club service, and we had the youth band, and it was just such a special picture of different nationalities, different generations coming together. And I was just like, this church that I've been kind of looking for to learn from, this is kind of the church that I have the privilege of being part of here at Holland Road. It's this amazing intercultural, intergenerational church family. And brothers and sisters, there's something so precious about it. There's something I think that people do look at what's going on here and go, wow. And I think there's something that we need to keep being more intentional about. We need to celebrate more. We need to actually contend for, because the enemy doesn't like it. And we need to let it remind us that we're part of a worldwide church with brothers and sisters from all over the place, and that we're part of what God is doing in a massive, massive way. There was a lovely picture of this the first Sunday we were back. Our community group, which had been meeting while we were away, was planning to go to one of our members' house for Iranian New Year. So one of the people in our community group was from Iran, and they had us round for kind of Iranian New Year. I just thought that had kind of happened at midnight, you know, either the midnight before or the midnight afterwards. I hadn't realized Iranian New Year is at 3:33 p.m. in the afternoon. So we were really excited to be able to kind of share in this moment all together. And there were about 16 of us. I think my wife said she could remember 6 different nationalities just in this one little community group. And, you know, we told people about it afterwards, and they said, wow, that is so special. That's amazing. You guys got a chance to do that, because that kind of thing doesn't happen that often. And in a divided world, it is such a powerful witness. It's like, how are those people coming together? I look around here now and I think, well, just look around. Like, we're here together, united in our praise of Jesus. There is power in his purpose in our unity. It points people to him, that Jesus has done something in our lives and he can do something in the lives of others. But it's not always easy. I have such a huge heart for it, for how we work together with other churches. And it's not always easy. In fact, one of the things we see in the rest of this prayer is Jesus doesn't just pray this for us. He kind of says he's going to give us things that are going to help us in that kind of power for unity. And so I just want to touch on two really brief things as we kind of prepare to share in a meal of communion, which is going to, you know, be something that again reminds us of our unity with so many others around the world. So look with me back at John chapter 17, verses 22. This is what it goes on and says. As Jesus continued to praise for our unity, he says this: I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me. There's that purpose again. Well, what does he give us to help us be united? Well, it says, doesn't it, in verse 22, he says this amazing thing. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. You know, all of the beginning part of the prayer 2 weeks ago was all about this glory, the glory of Jesus that he has and that the Father's given him. And now, get this, folks. Jesus is praying and saying, look, Father, I've shared this glory with them. The glory you gave me, I'm sharing it with you. Now, I don't know what cool thing you've done this week, or what kind of brilliant kind of results you might have got, or job, or whether you've kind of got a bestseller that's kind of sold millions, or how many YouTube followers you've got, or Instagram posts, but I can tell you this, there is no kind of glory in those things that is better than the glory that you have been given in Christ Jesus, amen? Amen. So just think about it for a moment. What usually divides us? What usually divides us? It's often, isn't it, our kind of pride, our fears. They're often more linked than we realize. It's often the way we feel kind of insecure. Well, let me tell you this. If you believe in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection for you, that he has ascended into glory and now has shared his glory with you, that you are in him, you could not be more secure. You could not be more kind of have a position of something special and glory. You could not be in higher honor than being in Christ. You and I do not need to feel, we don't need to feel insecure or fearful. And yet we also can't be proud, because we haven't deserved it. We haven't earned it. We have received it rather than achieved it. And so that helps us live with humility. One of the things God's been speaking to me loads about in these last couple of months is walking with God with security and humility. You know, as we do that, it's a really powerful thing for how we work together and are united in Christ. I've found I've been so blessed by a word that a member from our church for many years, who's now actually, he's part of the church in heaven. He died some years back, a wonderful missionary from this church, Dave Leach. He said to us once, and I've thought of this so many times, he said, guard your unity, walk in humility. Do you want to say that with me? Guard your unity, walk in humility. Because it's as we remember, oh yeah, Jesus, you've done all this for us. It's your glory that we share in. That gives us this humility which actually unites us together. But it's not just that Jesus shares his glory with us. Just in these last few minutes, just see this wonderful thing that is kind of there at the end of verse 23. It says, look, you know, that they well may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. And then he goes on, and we've not got time to get into all of the wonder of verse 24. Father, I want those you've given me to be with you where I am. He like wants this big kind of family get together. There's something future in that. But there's also something that I think is more now than we realize, that even now God is doing something in us. He says, I want them to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. So Jesus is loved by the Father. How much does the Father love the Son? How much? Little? A lot. We used to sing with my kids, you know, That, you know, we love them this much, and then we shake their heads, no. We love them this much, shake our heads, no. We love them this much, no. How much do we love them? This much. The love of the Father for the Son is massive. Now, keep reading with me. He longs for us to be with him, to see his glory, and the persecuted church know how valuable that is, because they often live in really bleak, painful times, and yet they are looking ahead because they know what's coming. It's this wonderful family reunion in a beautiful glory of heaven with Jesus. Let's not forget that, us too. But he goes on and says this, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that, here's the bit, the love you have for me may be in them. Okay, the love the Father has for the Son may be in us. That is so amazing. I don't know about you, but it changes me when I know I'm loved. And it helps me then love others. I love this writings of an old missionary lady she used to work in India. Her name was Amy Carmichael. She again is now in glory. And Amy Carmichael once was really struggling to love someone that she was trying to work with or help. She kind of said to God, I feel like I've run out of love. And she was there by a pool in a rock, and the water was flowing into the pool. And then the water was in the pool, and then it flowed out of the pool. And she realized that the only water that flowed out was what? The water that flowed in. That the pool, the rock itself, had no kind of water of its own. It was only what came in that went out. And she felt God say to her, look, if love flows in, love will flow out. And so then she said, let love flow in. I have found that so helpful. If love flows in, love will flow out. So let God's love, brothers and sisters, flow into your heart. Jesus is praying for us, praying for our unity. It's often hard to love because we're not perfect. And that's one of the things when love becomes so powerful, doesn't it? Because what kind of can make us sometimes think, you know, I can't cope with this person. We get hurt. And hurts often end up leading to division. And yet what can help overcome our hurts? Well, it's when we love, when we forgive, when we do what the Bible says love does, which is keep no record of wrongs. Amazing, isn't it, that God loves us. He doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. That's the cross. That's the power of the love of God that was stretched out for us. And we're going to remember that as we receive the bread of symbol of Christ's body broken for us, and this reminder that he was crushed, you know, like grapes are crushed, so that his blood was poured out for us. And we've got for communion today a way of remembering the love of God, that he was willing to die for my sin and your sin. And we're going to have communion in a way which our persecuted brothers and sisters often share in communion this way. It's with a grape, which is like the cup, and just a little wafer of bread. And when we share in this, we remember that because of what Jesus has done for us, we are united with them. United in receiving his love. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if his love is sufficient for them so that they can keep being a witness in their prisons and places where they're persecuted, you and I can keep being a witness in the way we love one another and love them, that God is for us and will not leave us. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you as we come to this communion table, as we come to Jesus to come and receive his love. Let love flow in, and it will flow out. Let God's forgiveness and grace come again upon your life to help you forgive and show grace. Let that wonderful gift of his glory shared with us, that place of honor that we have in him, remind you that we can walk with security and humility. And may this wonderful truth that just as Jesus is in the Father and the Father with the Son, that they are also with us and we are in them. And may his Spirit just come and minister afresh into our hearts his one Holy Spirit. even as we come and worship together. So let's just have the band come up. We're going to prepare for communion. And I'm just going to pray for us now that as we even prepare, God would be pouring out his love afresh in our hearts. Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you that you went to the cross for us to demonstrate your love, to do what we most needed, to save us, to forgive us. But Lord, thank you. It's not just something you've done, Lord, something you are also doing as you now ascended, are praying for us. Still loving us by remembering us constantly. Lord, still helping us to follow you, to live like you, to love like you. And so I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, come minister afresh to your people today. Wherever they are, Lord, remind them of your love. Help us to love. Help us to be those that you've made us to be, one in you. May we live out what we are. So come, Holy Spirit, as we prepare for communion, to share in this meal together. Amen.